It's Wednesday, the 25th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Trevor Booker. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you today by Moneyball.com.au, No Halftime, and Files from Moneyball. If you want to be like Files and be a sponsor of the podcast, all you need to do as a listener is leave a review on iTunes. It's very, very straightforward. So be like Files and be a sponsor of the podcast. And I've got our other two sponsors for today, and that is Moneyball.com.au, Australia's only daily fantasy sports site. And the No Halftime app, which is a one-on-one daily fantasy contest. And if you sign up to that, you get $25 free by using the promo code DUNK. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. And a quick shout-out, today, the episode of today's show, the title of today's show is called John, Paul George, and Ringo. It's a Beatles reference, and I want to give a shout out to unmerciful_one who tweeted me the title of today's show. And if you guys think you're going to know who the monstrous line of the night's going to be, and you've got some sort of witty pun or title or something like that that you think that we could use for the show, tweet it at me. That's you guys get involved with naming the show. I take a little bit of pride maybe in naming the shows and trying to make them as humorous as I can. There's only so many puns you can have for Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, and Russ Westbrook, which I found out over the last couple of seasons. But if you guys think you know who the monstrous line of the night's going to be, and you've got a funny pun headline show title, just tweet me. Tweet me what you want the show title to be. And some nights I'll pick one, and it'll be much like Unmerciful tonight, who had the naming rights of the show title. All right, there's a lot to get to. There were 6 games on Tuesday. There's 12 games on Wednesday. So, Michael, what should we do?
Let's get to it.
Thank you very much. The monstrous line of the night, as I have already alluded to, it can't go any other direction, really. Well, it probably could have gone, because it could have gone to his teammate, but it didn't. It went to Paul George of the Indiana Pacers, who had 40 points. He hit 7 threes. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. On 14 of 19 shooting, 5 of 6 from the line. The 14 of 19 shooting, something we haven't seen from George very often this season, but he has been fantastic so far this year, averaging almost 26 points and 3 threes a game, which is clearly a career high. 8.5 rebounds, just awesome rebounding numbers. The move to power forwards really suited him in that sense. Not that he plays a huge amount of true power forward. Almost 5 assists a game, 1.6 steals, 46% from the field, 84% from the free throw line. He's just putting up superb numbers. Just absolutely incredible comeback from Paul George from this leg injury. I was doubtful of him. I'm not going to hide behind that at all. I was doubtful of the fact that, not that he'd be a good player. There was always a chance he'd be a good player. I didn't think he'd come back as good as he was, or definitely not better. And I thought he'd still have some recurring issues. And look, he still might. We're only 14 games into the season. There might be some issues, but at the moment, he's absolutely flying. Just looks completely, he doesn't look like the same Paul George, because the Paul George we saw before the broken leg was good, but he wasn't this good. He wasn't the same guy that we're seeing now. This is really an unprecedented return from injury. It sort of reminds me back to when Adrian Peterson returned from his ACL injury and proceeded to almost break the league lead in rushing yards. It feels like that, a guy to come off a horrific, severe, potentially career-threatening injury, and to come back as a better player when you were already awesome beforehand. It's been an incredible effort from Paul George, so hats off to Big Paul. The waiver wire line of the night. I had a couple of directions I could have gone here, but I had to go with George's teammate, and that is CJ Miles, who played 33 minutes. He had 32 points and went 8 for 9 from three-point range. That's incredible. 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 10 of 16 shooting, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. I've said this plenty of times. CJ Miles is a must-own player. He has to be owned. He's putting up 16 points in only 27.5 minutes. He's giving you 3 three-pointers a game. That's tremendous value. He's doing it on 46% shooting, which is a little bit out of the ordinary for him. He's been, you know, over his past six seasons, he's been, you know, under 40% twice. He's never had a season over 44%. So you expect that number to come down a little bit, but he's just providing so much for you. Scoring threes, 1.5 steals, 82% from the free throw line, low turnovers, just putting up some great, great numbers. And look, he's probably going to regress from here. I don't think we'd be silly enough to think that he's going to be this guy continually, but he has to be owned. At this point, you can't avoid owning CJ Miles at this point if you've been holding off. I really like CJ Miles as a nice 3-point steal scoring option and a free throw option. And that's, if you're contributing positively in four categories, you've got significant value in fantasy leagues. And that's exactly what CJ Miles is at the moment. And the Pacers are definitely surprising me with the way that they're playing this year. They put up some really big wins, and today they just blew the Wizards pretty much out of the water, which it was not something we anticipated. That was just a really weird game to see and the Wizards aren't playing well, but the Pacers just to blow a team out like that and score so many points was a little bit unexpected. The young gun of the night, head across to the Boston and Atlanta game, head across to the Celtics, and RJ Hunter played 21 minutes. He had 12 points with 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals on 5 of 6 shooting. And Hunter's been more involved this season than what I thought he would be, especially with the amount of depth that the Celtics have got. He's playing 12 minutes a game. Look, it's not much, and he's looked okay, shooting 45% from the field, 32% from 3. Doesn't do much else. He's clearly only a deep league guy. I've got him in the Red Rock Dynasty 400 deep league. Haven't used him at all, but happy I've got him on a 4-year contract. He's been decent. While Marcus Smart is out, you might be able to find a use for RJ Hunter in a 20 team league, maybe a 16 team league if you're pushing it, and it's going to be just for some points and some 3-pointers. That's probably about it. Although over his last 3, he's averaging 1.3 steals, which is not a bad return for the rookie. So RJ Hunter with the young gun of the night, dart of the night. Will the Thrill Barton. 1 point for Will. 3 rebounds. 0 of 6 from the field. 2 turnovers. This is the problem with Will Barton. And I know there is an abnormally large percentage of people who are Will Barton fans. Don't really know where it comes from, but they are. He's just not good. He's just not a good player. And that is not saying that he doesn't have to be owned, because he does have to be owned. But the propensity for him to have stinkers and to have games where he just doesn't get playing time because he's not good is higher than a lot of other guys who are ranked around his level. Yeah, I'm still going to stick with him and Kent Bazemore as guys who are not good players. Marvin Williams, they're all must-own players, but they're no good. And I feel that their level of play is going to regress down to what they actually are. He'll be better than this. There's no doubt about that. And he'll probably go back and put up 17 points with 5 rebounds in the next game and be back to looking good. But when you're actually not a good player, or not an above average player, which I don't think Barton is, this is going to happen from time to time. So it's the risk you run from rostering him, but I can't blame you for rostering him, definitely, because the play he's been putting on, the stats he's been putting up are really good. And sorry to all the people who are massive Will Barton fans. I'm just not one of them, and we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens. We'll see what these guys do over the next month or so. They're the 3 guys who I'm really keeping an eye on. Bazemore, who we'll talk about a little bit more later, Will Barton, and Marvin Williams as guys that, even Marcus Morris to an extent, guys that aren't good players but are in a role where they're putting up decent stats where we have to use them. But the value is like a highly inflated balloon, like it's prone to busting, I feel, for a few of those guys, and we'll just see exactly how that plays out over the next month, up to Christmas, maybe see exactly what these guys do and if it normalizes or whatever it does. The DFS value play of the day. Pretty good when you highlight those guys at the end of a show, and this guy's name comes up, and it was probably one of my riskier picks, one of my what are you doing sort of picks, but Thabo Sefolosha was incredible. He cost only $3,900. He put up 38.9 FanDuel points. That's almost a 10 times value for Thabo. He played 26 minutes. He had 15 points, 7 rebounds, 3 threes, 3 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks on 7 of 8 shooting. Now, he's not a 7 of 8 shooter, much like guys like Jeremy Lamb. They're not 7 of 8 shooters. This offensive explosion is not going to happen. But 7 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 blocks is not stupid for him. It's something that he can do, and he can be a defender. And this is the big reason why I'm worried about Bazemore. If you're in a 10-team league, I don't think that you need to hold Bazemore, because I think that he comes back and he doesn't have the same role. I think that Sefolosha takes the starting job, takes most of the minutes, and it's a split and they play 24, 25 minutes apiece. I think that's a pretty realistic situation, because Thabo is playing really, really well at the moment. His DFS salary is going to have to rise after this, because it's 3 pretty decent games in a row for him. But season-long, guys, you're not necessarily adding him, but what he might do to Kent Bazemore could be a concern to Bazemore's value going forward. And again, there's a lot of people who are fans of Kent Bazemore. Don't really understand that myself, but I'm sure many of you guys say to me, hey, Josh, why are you a fan of Evan Fournier? Just am. Can't explain it. I'm worried about Bazemore's value a little bit with Sefolosha coming back. I think it's a real, real concern for him that we're going to see Sefolosha cutting into those minutes and really limiting Bazemore's ceiling once he does return from this ankle injury, which should be at some stage this week, whether it's tomorrow's game, which it probably won't be, or Friday's action. Let's get into these box scores now. Talk about them in a little bit more detail. If you're watching along live, if you're watching along the video on YouTube later on, you can always see these box scores up on the screen as I go through them. The first game is the Pacers and the Wizards. We've seen what the Pacers did with Paul George and CJ Miles. George Hill was back in the starting lineup, 14, 4, and 5 with 2 threes and a steal. A nice night from him. Jordan Hill, 6 and 5, but still 3 steals, so still a useful night in 25 minutes. He's more of a deeper league. When I say deeper, he's a 14-team league sort of player. And Yan Mihinmi didn't have any blocks, but 9 rebounds and 2 steals is about what you hope to get from him. Monte Ellis, with George Hill back, didn't handle the ball quite as much, 10, 5, and 5. And Rodney Stuckey we don't need to worry too much about Rod Stuckey. 5 points for him in 23 minutes. And with George Hill returning, Glenn Robinson was reduced to a 42-second role, and he'd been playing some pretty decent minutes before that, and Chase Budinger's minutes were also reduced. On to the Wizards. And of course, the Wizards, their top scorer was Gary Neal. What? Gary Neal played 29 minutes. He scored 23 points, had 5 threes, 3 rebounds, and a steal on really good shooting. Let's just chalk this one up to a fluke. Neal got hot. John Wall and Brad Beal were healthy. They still played well, but Neal was just getting minutes, and he was getting buckets, basically. And that's not going to happen all that often, but occasionally it will happen. John Wall, 18, 4, and 5 with 3 threes. The 3 threes is not something you really anticipate. 8 turnovers is no good if you're in a 9-cat roto league. But as I've said plenty of times, if you're in a 9-cat head-to-head league, I just don't care about turnovers at all. 9-cat roto is a different story, and John Wall's always going to be that problem. But he has been slumping, definitely. It's a definite buy-low opportunity on John Wall. And whenever I say buy-low, it doesn't mean if a guy was drafted 10 that you send your pick 18 for him. I say buy low, and you really want to go buy low. Send a player outside the top 50, who you think might be a top 50 or outside the top 50 at the end of the season, and try and do that switcheroo there, because I think that's a pretty decent way to go about it. There's no much point buying low on a bloke who might finish 5 spots lower than him or 5 spots ahead of him or whatever. That's whatever. You need to sort of go big or go hard or go home. Go hard or go home. That's the phrase I'm looking for. Brad Beal in his second game back, 20 points, 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. This is more of a Brad Beal that we'd anticipate, 9 of 22 shooting, not this red-hot one we saw before his shoulder injury. And Otto Porter had a bit of a struggling night, 7, 3, and 3 with 2 steals in 25 minutes. Chris Humphries played just 9. Ooh, 1 rebound. And that's because Jarrett Dudley played 27, and he's been trending towards playing those mid to high 20s minutes. Nene played 23 and went 11, 7, and 4. So Chris Humphries' value is pretty much kaput. He's not playing many minutes. Jarrett Dudley's getting more minutes. Nene is getting minutes, and Nene's playing well. And Humphries is just really, really struggling. So he's got to be a deep league-only guy at this point of the season. The next game is the Dallas Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies. Pretty comfortable victory in the end for the Grizzlies. It was the first game of a back-to-back for the Mavericks, so of course the Mavericks went through and sat players, and they sat Devin Harris. weird one to me because I don't know why Devin Harris needs a random rest on a back-to-back when they've got guys coming off injuries like Wes Matthews and Chandler Parsons and Dirk Nowitzki's 100 years old. I don't see why Harris playing 22 minutes a night needs a rest in a back-to-back. Unless, is this a sign that Matthews and Parsons are going to sit and Harris is going to have to play 30 minutes in tomorrow's game? Maybe. Who knows? I'm purely speculating there, but it seemed an odd one on the surface. Ray Felton had a pretty good game, 16-4-2. Zaza, his fourth straight double-double. Zaza Pachulia, 13-10. He's a must-own player. And Dirk, not a bad night, 14-10 with a steal and a block. JJ Barea was also really good too with 27 minutes, 16 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. Darren Williams struggled after some really strong form, 10-2-3, but not panicking too much there. We didn't see any JaVale McGee in this game. Dwight Powell played 20 minutes. So he had 2 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks. And when he has to play backup center, he's useful. But if McGee's playing, then Dwight Powell's going to go back to that 13-14 minute range. And that's not going to be useful in most leagues. 25 minutes for Chandler Parsons, 6-5 with a block. 25 minutes is looking good. We're approaching 30, but it's still been a really slow process for him. Onto the Grizzlies, Zach Randolph was starting, and then he was not, and he was out. But the Grizzlies still made a change to their starting lineup. JaMychal Green came out of the starting lineup, and Matt Barnes came in, and he played 38 minutes, Matt Barnes. That's big minutes for him, 3 games in a row, 14-7, 3 threes, and 2 steals. You have to sort of look at him in 12-team leagues now. The minutes crunch is still going to be there, when Zebo comes back especially, with him and Jeff Green and Tony Allen and Courtney Lee. But he's been definitely trending up. He's definitely been playing well as well. He's a good threes and steals guy. He can get some rebounds. He can score a few points. He was 12-team valuable for the Clippers for the last 2 seasons. And if he's in that sort of role, then you look at him. But he just didn't start off in a very big role at all, and that really limited his ability to contribute in fantasy leagues. Mario Chalmers, 21 minutes for him, 14 points, 2 assists, 5 steals, and another 10 trips to the free throw line. Who is this guy, James Harden? I don't know where all these free throws are coming from. Now, he only went 6 of 10, which limited his value from there. It hurt you from there, but 5 steals and 10 trips to the free throw line. If he goes 10 of 10, then we're talking about a top 10 player on the night sort of night from Mario Chalmers. 18 points in 21 minutes with 5 steals. He's a real weird one. I'm not looking at him in 12-team leagues, but in 14-team leagues, he's been real productive in that limited role, and it's an odd situation. Mike Conley, 21 points in 30 minutes. He's playing really well. 6 assists for him too. Jeff Green went 19-7 with 2 blocks and a 3. And we know the upside of Green is really tantalizing. It just doesn't happen very often, unfortunately. Marc Gasol went 15-10 with 4 assists and 2 blocks. A poor shooting night from Gasol, but otherwise a pretty decent output for him. We saw them talk about Brandon Wright and say there's no real timetable for him to return. It just doesn't look like a good situation for him. So obviously, if you're holding onto him and stashing him, there's no real point in that at all. The Celtics and the Hawks. Avery Bradley, again, 30 minutes for Bradley. 25 points, 4 threes, 2 assists, 3 steals and a block. He has to be owned everywhere, at least until Marcus Smart comes back. But he was playing awesome off the bench as well. David Lee had 10-6 in 25 minutes, and this game was a bit of a blowout. So I'm not going to get on Brad Stevens for playing David Lee 25 minutes and playing Jared Sullinger 21 minutes or playing Amir Johnson 22 minutes because it was a blowout. You know, if James Young sees the court and plays 3 minutes, you know it was a blowout. Isaiah Thomas struggled a little bit but still had 14 points, 3 steals, and a couple of 3-pointers. And not a bad night, even though it was a bit of a struggle. Kelly Olynyk, Amir Johnson didn't provide much. Evan Turner is an interesting guy with Marcus Smart out. 7 assists for him, 4 rebounds, and 8 points. He's going to be a really nice source of assists while Smart is out. Jay Crowder struggled with his shot. 3 of 11 for 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And when he doesn't get steals, his fantasy value, it's hard to recoup that value. But he's been getting them at such an extreme rate that you have to keep holding on to him. Jared Sullinger went 7-5. In his 21 minutes, but if you own him, I'm not panicking I'm not panicking, full stop. The Atlanta Hawks, big game from Millsap again, 25-9, a steal and a block. Al Horford, 11-4-4, not quite as good from him. And Jeff Teague, back as the starter, he only played 26 minutes. Again, this game was a blowout. He didn't need to play much. He went 16 points with 9 assists and 2 steals. Or Dennis Schroeder played just 19 minutes. And again, we're talking blowout. You know how much of a blowout this game was? Tim Hardaway played. the first sighting of Tim Hardaway all season. He played 12 minutes. So basically, there was at least 12 minutes of this game where it was uncompetitive because Hardaway was able to play. He did his Hardaway-ish best, 3 points with a three, and we clearly do not care about Tim Hardaway in fantasy leagues. Kyle Korver was pretty nice, 15 points with three threes and seven rebounds. He probably still is a must-own guy, but not as locked in as what he was the other last couple of seasons. And Lamar Patterson had a pretty decent showing as well. 23 minutes for Patterson, 10 and 6 with three threes. The next game is the Los Angeles Clippers and the Denver Nuggets. Big win for the Clippers. Chris Paul, 15 and 10 with three steals. DeAndre Jordan, 18 and 11 with four blocks. He also went 12 of 25 from the free throw line. So if you drafted DeAndre Jordan and had any misconception that you might be able to compete in free throws, this is clearly not the week you're going to be able to do that, because that is brutal. JJ Redick, 16 points. Blake Griffin, 18 and 10 with a triple one. Nice line from him. And Wes Johnson moved into the starting lineup, replacing Paul Pierce, and played pretty well. And Wes Johnson can be a useful fantasy contributor if he can get 30 minutes. Now, he only got 24 here, 11 points, 2 rebounds, 3 threes, and a block. But he's a triple one sort of guy with okay scoring and decent rebounding. It's only going to be deeper leagues at the moment, but he can sneak into 12-team leagues if he finds himself with 30, 31 minutes a night. That would happen if Lance Stephenson didn't play 15 minutes, which he did tonight. We don't worry about him too much. Obviously not worrying about Paul Pierce or Austin Rivers. Denver Nuggets. Danilo Gallinari grabbed 18 rebounds. That's pretty weird. 20 points as well, which is awesome, but he did 2 of 10 shooting and then 16 of 17 from the free throw line. So a really strange looking performance from Danilo Gallinari. Still overall probably helped your team, but not a great line. Gary Harris, 35 minutes, 14 points and 3 threes. Nikola Jokic got another start, 16 and 6. He is just an awesome per-minute producer. I just wish he could get himself up to 30 minutes. He battled foul trouble here, 5 in his 24 minutes, so that limited him slightly and allowed JJ Hickson to play 19 minutes. But Jokic has to be owned in all 12-team leagues, at least until we see Yusuf Nurkic comes back, which should be pretty soon. I mean next couple of weeks. Emmanuel Mudiay, 24 minutes, 7 points with 4 assists, not his greatest night. And Darrell Arthur, who started in place of Kenneth Freed, who was out with that ankle again, 11 and 5 in 30 minutes for Darrell Arthur. The next game, the Chicago Bulls and the Portland Trailblazers. Jimmy Butler, 22, 2 and 4, 4 steals and 2 threes, a nice night from him. Pau Gasol went 12 and 14, and Nikola Mirotic played 29 minutes, 13 and 8, 3 threes and 3 assists. So everyone who thought the sky was falling with Nikola Mirotic, his value has definitely steadied. It has increased back up. His minutes are okay. He's putting up good numbers. The time to panic has passed. Joakim Noah, 7 and 6 in 20 minutes. Taj Gibson, 10 and 7 in 17 minutes. And Derrick Rose returned. He still killed your field goal percentage, 7 of 20, but 17, 4 and 6 with a 3 is not a horrible output. Tony Snell continues to start. For what reason, I've got no idea. 5 points in 14 minutes, while Dougie McDermott had 4 points in his 25 bench minutes. They still found a way to give 26 minutes to Kirk Heinrich, though. Of course they did. 3, 1 and 3 for big Captain Kirk. And I'm sorry for those guys watching, because I don't know, the stats all just jumped off the page. The Portland Trailblazers, Ed Davis. We hypothesized yesterday that maybe Davis would see a big run against the Bulls, and he did. 35 minutes, 12 and 13, 3 steals and 2 blocks. Mason Plumlee, 11 and 17 with 2 blocks. And again, I'll reiterate this, Plumlee needs to be owned everywhere. There's no way around that. Damian Lillard, 19, 10 and 8, while CJ McCollum went 18, 2 and 4. So big nights for most of their stars here. Noah Vonleh got the start. And again, what is the point of starting someone? You're going to start him for matchup purposes and play him 12 minutes. Well, guess what? The Bulls, when they run their starting lineup out there, they run it out there for more than 12 minutes. So what, you're going to match up with them for a third of the time? It makes zero sense. Zero. And the matchup thing is just pure bullshit. So Vonleh's going out there and playing 12 minutes. Doesn't make sense. If you're going to run Ed Davis and Mason Plumlee out there and that's the plan, just do it. Just run them out there. Don't start a guy for 12 minutes. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Quiet night from Al-Farouq Aminu. He only played 22 minutes, 5 and 6 with a 3 and a block. He went 1 of 9 from the field, so obviously he had some shooting difficulties there. And 31 minutes for Alan Crabb. He wasn't great, only 9 points, but the 31 minutes is interesting. The last game of the night wasn't really a game, to be honest. It was over in about 5 minutes. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. And speaking of over, Kobe Bryant. He looks horrific. He looks... If anyone plays in a league with airballs as a category, Kobe would have won you that category this week. I think he had four. I haven't not even finished watching the game yet. I'm halfway through the third quarter, and he's had about four. He hit one of 14 shots, and even that shot that he hit was a ridiculous, ill-advised, I'm dribbling down, I'm just going to pull up in transition for three, and it somehow went in after he'd airballed the previous shot. It was like, I'm going to show you I can shoot. Well, you can't actually shoot anymore, Kobe. 4-6, 2 assists, 2 steals. He's not ownable. Sorry, let's rephrase that. He's not must-own. You can use him in certain situations. In roto leagues, you can't own him. Your field goal percentage, it's DeAndre Jordan-esque for free throws. You can't own him in a roto league. In a head-to-head league, I can sort of see it, but he just looks brutal. If he goes on again next season and the Lakers give him another contract, they are... I won't say they're a joke because they're already at that level, but that is brutal if that happens. D'Angelo Russell played 26 minutes, 8-4-2 with a couple of steals. Julius Randle 10-6 in his 24, and Roy Hibbert went 2-6 with a block in 23 minutes. It was a blowout, so the minutes were spread all over the place. For the Warriors, Draymond Green 18-7-5, Steph Curry 24-4-9. Klay Thompson had 11 points with a couple of threes. Harrison Barnes had 8 points. Andrew Bogut had 8 points. And again, this game was just over so quickly that no one needed to play big minutes at all. And that was always the risk with playing guys like Curry and Klay and Draymond in DFS, that they would only need to play 25 minutes. Now, Curry played 30. Green played 30. But it's not 35. And it's not at high intensity because this game was over so, so quickly. The Lakers looked like they were playing a different sport half of the time. All right. Now, before we head into the break, before we look at the games for Wednesday, it's time for a little bit of a word from our sponsor, No Halftime. Okay, so you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and you're thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players, not the entire team, but your fantasy sports service doesn't allow you to do that. On the all-new No Halftime app, it allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams. For example, you can pick Kristaps Porzingis versus Karl-Anthony Towns. You can take LeBron James versus Carmelo Anthony, James Harden versus Steph Curry. All you need to do is create a challenge. It takes seconds. Accepting a challenge is even easier, and you can do it for any sort of league, any sport, private or public. Real money, it's very straightforward. One-on-one, head-to-head battles, one player versus one player, very straightforward. All you need to do is download the No Halftime app on your iPhone and get a $25 bonus, $25 to start off. So you can get in there, $25, and start winning money for free. Use the promo code DUNK at sign up. Any of you guys who are not in the United States, all you need is a US iTunes account. Sign into that on your phone, download the app, and then you're good to go from there. So make sure you're getting on there using that promo code DUNK. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. And obviously, you know how much I appreciate you guys going over to my sponsors and supporting them and showing them that you came from the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast and showing potential sponsors that we can drive people towards their products if they're offering good products. You know, execution is key in all these things You guys helping me out is obviously awesome. So thank you very much for being able to do that for me. So I want to know if any of you guys have used No Halftime. Let me know what you think of it. But yeah, just go over there, use that. It's free. And you get $25 to start off with. So use that promo code DUNK and do that. All right, now it is time for a break. I am exceptionally thirsty today, so I'm going to have a big, long sip of water. And to play you out to the break is Bryce Whitney and his band Columbia. We Don't Go. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now when you're someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street and I wonder if I'll ever meet again without a second glance. Okay, guys, we are back. Thank you to Bryce and his band for that song. Again, microphone was off so I could sing along while I was having a drink. We're back. There's 12 games on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, with all teams having a break on Thanksgiving. So there's a lot to talk about. There's a few games that don't have spreads out yet. We'll do our best to have a look at all. We'll do our best because I'm going to look at every one of these games and go through them and talk about where we can maybe extract some daily fantasy value. The first game up, the Washington Wizards and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are favored by 3 here. We've got a very big total, 209.5. It's the second highest listed total for the games so far. What we need to look out for, though, is Nick Batum is questionable for the Hornets. He suffered a bout of gastroenteritis. So basically, he's been sick and he's been shitting his pants. That's how it runs with Batum at the moment. We don't know if he's going to play yet. If he doesn't play, you're going to see more from Jeremy Lamb. You're going to see more from Jeremy Lin. Maybe you see a bit more from PJ Hairston. As it stands, Lin and Lamb are both pretty decent plays. 4,700 for Lin, 4,600 for Lamb. And if Batum is out, they both become good options. If Batum plays at 7,000 and he is actually fully healthy, which is always a risk, he's not a bad play because the Wizards do leak a lot of points to opposition small forward. So he'd be in a nice situation. He put up 43 in the last game and he could easily do another 43 here. Marvin Williams' salary is now under 5,000. Yes, he was terrible in the last game. Yes, he is a terrible player. But it's not a bad situation for him here if you think that he's going to go back to those big minutes. I'm not all that confident in it, but there is something to be said for Marvin Williams and him having some decent value or a decent opportunity to have value. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. Brad Beal at 6,900. He's a real stinker the first game back. He put up 32 points in today's game. At 6,900, not a bad guy to have a look at, although the Hornets do defend shooting guards particularly well. But in a high total game, not a terrible guy to have a look at. There is some value there. John Wall, we pretty much can't use at the moment, even though he's down at 8,800. He just hasn't been producing. Kemba Walker is now priced at 8,200. Yes, he was awesome, but 8,200? That means you're going to need him to go for 43, 44 points. He's averaged 45 over the last three. But do we expect with John Wall and Kemba Walker that he's going to put up 43 again? I think that's a massive steer clear situation. Same with Al Jefferson, because we just don't know what sort of minutes he's going to get on a nightly basis. He could get nothing, he could get something. And by that, I mean he could get 30, he could get 20. And it's hard to roster him in that sort of situation. If he was under 7,000, I might look at him in a tournament situation. But for now, at 7,100, I don't think that it's worth really delving into the Al Jefferson game at all. New York Knicks and the Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic. I'm going to suggest you don't roster anyone, because we don't know what Scott Skiles is going to do. He might throw a starting lineup out there of Shabazz Napier, CJ Watson, Aaron Gordon, Channing Frye, Dwayne Dedman. And he might play those guys 2 minutes each. We just don't know. And eventually some of these Magic players are going to come down so low in salary that they're going to become appealing. But for while Skiles is in there, for you guys watching on video, you'll see me doing the Dr. Evil tinkering. While he's in there tinkering with the roster and the playing time, you can't trust any of these guys. So no Nick Vucevic, no Evan Fournier, no Alfred Payton, no Victor Oladipo. Aaron Gordon maybe in a tournament at 4,100 because he doesn't really have anywhere to go down from. He can only go up. So maybe we look at him. Kristaps Porzingis has been destroying souls. 6,700 he's priced at. He's almost a must play at that. The minutes have been huge for him lately. If he gets 35 minutes, we're looking at a 40-point performer on a good chunk of his game. So he's definitely someone we can look at. Robin Lopez, an interesting guy to look at. We don't know exactly what Fisher's doing, but he's averaging 29 over his last three. So that's an encouraging sign for Robin Lopez. And against an Orlando Magic team who do give up points to opposition centers. So he's definitely not in a horrible spot. Jose Calderon's been getting good minutes as well. 4,600. Ignore the stinker he had last game. He might actually, against a team the Magic do give up a stack of point guard points as well. So in a tournament, 4,600 on Jose Calderon. Can he give you 27 points? Yeah, he can. And that might be the difference between you winning or losing. Carmelo Anthony at 9,100. I don't hate it. It's not a bad sort of high price guy. There's definitely a little bit of value there for him. Not many other Knicks I want to talk about. Aaron Aflalo, you know my disdain for him. Langston Galloway, we can't trust. We're definitely not looking at Jerry and Grant, and that's about it. And actually, another one of the Magic guys who maybe is worth a punt is 3,800 on Shabazz Napier. Yeah, he could start. He could play 30 minutes, and if so, then that's real value. But to rely on Scott Skiles in a cash game is you might as well go and set your money on fire, because you can't rely on him at this point. It's just, you just never know what he's going to do next. The Miami Heat and the Detroit Pistons, there is no spread available for that one because there's a couple of injury situations on the Heat side of things. Hassan Whiteside is probable with an illness. He will play, though. Luol Deng is questionable with a hamstring issue. He might not. And if Deng is out, we're going to see some more Justice Winslow. Now, Winslow's already getting 27 minutes out of his last three, but if he got to 32 or 33 minutes at 3,700, yeah, not a bad option in DFS. There's a little bit of intrigue there. Ersan Ilyasova is strictly a tournament to me, 4,300. We never know which Ersan we're going to get. Good Ersan, bad Ersan, Ersan, shithouse Ersan, either one of those ones. We don't know. And Marcus Morris was horrible in the last game, but you'd think that he'd want to bounce back from that. 5,900 is his price point, so it's not a bad starting price. Andre Drummond has come down to 9,600. He's had a few subpar games, only averaging 34 across his last three. Yeah, at 9,600, he needs to be pushing 50. And is this matchup a good spot for him against Hassan Whiteside? I'm going to say no. I don't think that it's going to allow him to push into the 50, so I don't really know that he's a great play. He's an okay guy. He's a solid guy, but you're paying 9,600 for a solid guy? I don't know. There's still too much of a downside for me with Andre Drummond here. Stanley Johnson going up against Justice Winslow. All right, there's not bad, I think, for Johnson at 3,700. They're both averaging about 14 points for Johnson, 15 points for Winslow over the last three. They both put up 21 and 21 for both of them in the last game. There's Johnson's probably a little bit more variable because he could play 14 minutes, he could play 27 minutes, depending on what Ilyasova does. And Winslow's going to get that steady value, but Johnson's going to put up bigger numbers if he gets bigger minutes. So he's more of a tournament guy. Maybe Winslow is a solid, cheap cash game play. Reggie Jackson at 7,500. That's not a bad price for him. He has been struggling, but the Heat do slow things down tremendously, and it doesn't look good for point guard, so I'll avoid him. Same with Chris Bosh at 8,000. And Hassan Whiteside at 8,500. Same for Drummond going up against Whiteside. Whiteside's going to go up against Drummond, so it might be an interesting battle for those guys. He's only averaging 35, and at 8,500, you need to average more than 35 to be useful. Now, the Celtics have had a bit of a down stretch at the moment, a couple of big losses. They go up against the cure for the common losing streak, and that is the Philadelphia 76ers. So Boston is favored by 10.5 here. We have a total of 199.5 points. Nick Stauskas is questionable with a knee contusion. He hasn't really been producing anything anyway, so we don't need to pay too much attention to him. Robert Covington at 5,700 has been balling lately, 26.3 in his last three games. He's been getting over 30 minutes for the last two. At 5,700, I do really like him here. Nerlens Noel is probably only a tournament play, but he's down to 6,300. And can he put up 30 points? Yeah, there's a chance of it. He could go out and get three steals, three blocks, and then he's well on his way to doing it. So not a bad option for Nerlens Noel for a tournament. Boston side of things, Jared Sullinger at 6,000. I still like him at that price, even though he has cooled off a bit. And Isaiah Thomas had a bad game. I'd look for him to bounce back at 7,600. He is a very appealing option. Kelly Olynyk remains an okay punt play in a tournament, and that's about it. Don't rely on Jay Crowder. And Jahlil Okafor at 6,600. Yeah, I don't mind him at that price. He's put up a great game against Karl Anthony Towns. It's not like there's any centers who are really going to bother him on the Celtics. 6,600, he could easily return value at that price. Evan Turner at 5,400. Yeah, maybe. He's averaging 26. Not super enticing for me, though. And what about Avery Bradley at $6,000? I think that we probably need to look at playing Avery Bradley at $6,000. He's averaging 33. He put up 35 in the last game. I think we probably need to look at rostering him in pretty much most lineups. Onto the Sixers side of things, TJ McConnell at 5,000. He's averaging 21 in his last three. He's averaging 24 in his last five games. He's a real solid option at that real small salary. Not many other guys I think we really need to talk about in that game. The Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers are up next. The Cavs are favored by 2, a game with a total of 197. Mo Williams is questionable with his ankle. So if Williams doesn't go, then we look at Matthew Dellavedova getting that bump and he becoming a guy at 4,400 that you want to have a look at and play in a lot of spots. But I think most of the value comes from the Toronto Raptors side of things. Luis Scola played 31 minutes in the first game. Sans Jonas Valanciunas, he put up 29 points at 4,600. He's a good option against a Cavs team that does allow power forwards to score. Bismack Biyombo at 3,600. He played 31 minutes and scored 22 points. And at 3,600, you're pretty happy with that return. And that's without getting any blocks. And he could get some blocks here and put up some nice numbers. And Patrick Patterson was terrible in the last game. But I think that he gets more minutes here at 3,500. I like his ability to actually exceed value as well. So those three front court options are all guys you can take. Now, just have a look at which guy you like the most. But all those guys are worth a look. I don't mind Kyle Lowry at 8,600. He'd been playing really well this season. For the Cavs side of things, J.R. Smith at 5,300 has been putting up pretty big numbers. Be aware, though, the Raptors they're not favorable for opposition shooting guards. So that might be a factor for J.R. Smith heading into this one. Damari Carroll at 6,100, I'll probably leave that alone. LeBron at 10,100, yeah, he's pretty solid at that price. You sort of know what you're going to get. He hasn't been as sort of aggressive with taking his shots and scoring, and that's limiting him his DFS upside a little bit. But at 10,000, he's not a horrible option. Kevin Love is now up to 8,300, and that's sort of close to pricing him out. It's not quite there. He's averaging almost 45 across his last three. And at 8,300, pretty much where you want to be. So he can still be used, but if the price continues to rise, or if you're a little bit weary now, I don't blame you. The Atlanta Hawks and the Minnesota Timberwolves is the next game on deck. The Hawks are favored by 3. Seems low. The total is 205. Kent Bazemore is doubtful with an ankle sprain. Thiago Splitter is questionable with a sore hip, and Nemanja Bjelica with a knee bruise is also questionable. Ricky Rubio suffered an ankle sprain against the Sixers. He was able to practice in full. He was able to play out that game as well, so I don't think there's really any concern about him playing. Thabo Sefolosha, still priced at 3,900. He's averaging 24.67. You probably can't expect him to put up 39 like he did today, but at 3,900... if he gives you 20 points, there's a massive chance he does that. So I do like Thabo still at that salary. I think there's still some value there in him. Carl Anthony Towns had a bad game at 6,900. That's a salary drop. He'll look to bounce back there. Nemanja Bjelica, his price is down to 4,000. It'd strictly be a tournament play if he did play, but you could get a little bit of value out of him at that price point. And Kevin Martin, who really struggled in his start there in the last game, 4,500, you expect him to be a little bit better, so I don't hate that there. And Shabazz Muhammad at 3,500 is strictly a tournament punt play. Jeff Teague at 7,100 as a point guard, yeah, not bad. I can get behind that one. Ricky Rubio at 7,100 as well. If I'm picking those guys, I'm picking Teague over Rubio. But Rubio does have a pretty favorable matchup against the Hawks. Paul Millsap is now at 8,600. Not the best matchup for opposition power forwards. He is averaging 46, though, so he's getting close to being matchup proof. Not quite there. With 12 games on, there's probably a better option you can find than Paul Millsap. And Andrew Wiggins averaging 38 across his last three, priced at 7,500, has definitely some intrigue, more intrigue than I've had in him at most points of the season. The Sacramento Kings and the Milwaukee Bucks, there is no spread here, because DeMarcus Cousins is doubtful with a back issue and a thigh issue. So obviously he is a massive part of the Sacramento Kings. If he is out, which at the moment we're anticipating, Omri Caspi. Last time that Cousins missed due to the suspension, Caspi played 38 minutes. He is priced at 4,100. He can easily go out there and give you 30 points. He's someone we need to really pay attention to. Kostas Koufos at 4,000 is also good value. Marco Bellinelli at 3,900 is good value. Not loving Willie Cauley-Stein. Even though he's at 3,700, he's only averaging 10.9 over his last three. He has had some big games this season. I just don't think they trust him enough. If Cousins is out, Rajon Rondo would be good, but he's now at 8,400. It's real expensive. Now he's averaging close to 50 points, and at 8,400, that easily exceeds value. But the Bucks do shut down opposition point guards, and that salary is making it a little bit harder to play Rajon Rondo. Rudy Gay at 7,600, he should get a little bit of a boost. He was really good in his first game back from that shoulder issue. On the Bucks side of things, Chris Middleton at 5,500, that's pretty low price. He did put up 27 in his last game against a favorable matchup against the Kings. He's a guy that I'd look to have some value. Same as Jared Bayless at 4,400, been pretty rock solid with the value that he gives you. And Giannis Antetokounmpo at 7,000 is a nice guy. I haven't met him. He looks like a nice guy. 33 points for him across his last three in 32 minutes, and at 7,000. That's pretty close to what you're looking for. I don't think I'd risk Michael Carter-Williams at 6,200 or Greg Monro at 7,800, given the way that they have been up and down in the last few games. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Houston Rockets is the next game. There's no spread for this one either because we don't know if Jordan Adams is playing. No, we don't know if Zach Randolph is playing. He's questionable with that knee. Patrick Beverley is also questionable with the ankle. It looks like Beverley is going to play. He is not going to start. Jason Terry is going to start. So you know what that means? It means Ty Lawson is now the third string point guard. Bye, Ty. We don't need to look at you in daily fantasy for a while. You can be dropped in 12 and probably 14 team standard leagues. Not standard, 12 and 14 team leagues. Bye, you're done, Ty Lawson. You're the third point guard. You're behind Jason Terry. You're done for at least for the time being, anyway. On to the actual value in this game. Corey Brewer at 3,500. I don't know how he's a minimum salary guy. He should be. He definitely should be higher than minimum salary. Yes, he's only averaged 11.6 points in the last three. But I think he's better than that. So this is not a bad spot to have. At least maybe he gets a better role. He's playing 20 minutes a game, so he should do better than that. Jermichael Green is at 3,600. Now, he was on the bench in the last game. Yeah, maybe in a tournament. He still put up 20.7 points in 17 minutes off the bench, so he was still really productive in a bench role, and he's clearly not the sexiest name, but there's something to gain from looking at him. If Zebo's out, Marc Gasol at 7,800 becomes real. Look, he's solid anyway, but at 78 with no Randolph, I'd be looking at getting him in a lot of lineups. For the Rockets, Terrence Jones at 5,700. I think that he's in a spot for a pretty nice night. Even though the Grizzlies do shut down power forwards, his salary is low enough. And Matt Barnes at 3,800. He's been playing really well. I think at 3,800, definitely in one of your tournament lineups, it's worth getting Barnes in there. James Harden has been averaging 57 across his last three at 10,400. It is really tough to avoid James Harden. I think he's a really, really solid value player. And Trevor Ariza at 6,000, probably not at that price. Dwight Howard at 8,100, definitely not. And Mike Conley is now up to 6,900. I can get behind Mike Conley at 6,900. He's scoring a lot. He's in a real hot streak. The Rockets give up a lot of points to point guards. I think Mike Conley is in a pretty decent spot here for some nice fantasy value. Brooklyn Nets and Oklahoma City Thunder up next. The Thunder are favored by 12.5 with a total of 211.5. So blowout factor is real here. Mitch McGarry is questionable with an ankle sprain. That doesn't affect us. We don't need to worry about him in any sort of spot. Value-wise, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at 4,100. He's been averaging almost 25 across his last three. I think that you can have a look at him in tournaments. He's going to get solid 30 minutes a game. He's giving you the steals and rebounds, and at 4,100, I think that there's enough there to look at him, even in a cash game format, to allow some other big price players in. Steven Adams at 4,000, he's a similar sort of spot to Hollis Jefferson, just solid cash game, consistent production. And Serge Ibaka at 6,400, he's been really, really bad, like really bad. But if you think that he can bounce back against a subpar Nets team, that salary is attractive. Jarrett Jack at 6,400. Is a pretty good mid-priced point guard. 8,000 for Brook Lopez is maybe a little bit expensive, but it's not horrible. 11,600 is too much now for Russell Westbrook, and 10,200 for Kevin Durant is, I think it's okay. I think it's almost spot on for Durant. You can use him, but he's clearly not screaming out to be a must-play option. Next up, the San Antonio Spurs and the Dallas Mavericks. No spread. Yeah, a couple of reasons. We don't know if LaMarcus Aldridge is playing with an ankle sprain. We don't know if Chandler Parsons or Wes Matthews or Dirk Nowitzki or insert random player here, if Charlie Villanueva is resting, someone who doesn't need a rest for the Mavericks. Someone might be resting. We don't know how it's working out. But regardless of how it works out, JJ Barea at 3,700. If Parsons is out and if Matthews is out, I really like Barea. He's averaging 18.4 across the last three, almost min salary. You can look at him. Danny Green had a big game, 30 points in the last one, 4,300. I still think we ride the Danny Green bandwagon. And if Aldridge is out especially, Kawhi Leonard at 8,800. He's been getting a ton of scoring, a ton of usage, a ton of minutes, averaging 38 across his last three games at 88. That price is really high, but he's been close to justifying it. Tim Duncan at 6,800. I would probably leave him alone there. What about Zaza Pachulia at 6,200? He's been averaging 34, four straight double-doubles. Not a hard matchup against the Spurs in terms of centers, so I don't mind him at 6,200. Not many other guys that really get me that excited, unless you think that Darren Williams can bounce back, which he could. He's averaged 31.4 in his last three games, but against the Spurs, point guards find it notoriously difficult, and he might find it hard to be an exception to that rule. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Phoenix Suns, there is no spread out for this game because we don't know the status. Eric Bledsoe, who is questionable with a knee issue. Tyreek Evans is almost back. He's doubtful, but that's an upgrade for him considering he was out. So if he doesn't play in Wednesday, which it doesn't look like it, he should be back in some sort of capacity for Friday. So Tyreek Evans owners, get excited. Ish Smith owners, start to worry a little bit. The value, though, here is in Markieff Morris, even if Bledsoe does play. He's priced at 5,800. He's really starting to get things going again, so I like him at that spot. Alonzo G, he's playing some pretty big minutes. He had a really good game last game, but that's one out of the box. It was a season high. 3,800, though, you can look at it in a tournament. Eric Bledsoe at 8,500. If he does play, I think that he's a nice value play against a Pelicans team who is horrific against opposition shooting guards. Brandon Knight at 7,900 is good as well. And Eric Gordon, probably the last time you're going to be able to get much value on him with Tyreek returning. 6,100 for him is pretty spot on. I like Anthony Davis, even though he is even though his salary is over $11,000. He put up 65 in the last game. He's played 39 minutes in both of his last two encounters. I think that he is in a spot for a pretty big game against the Phoenix team, who is not a great defensive team. Ish Smith at 6,300. Been really playing well with or without Drew Holiday. I think that you look at him at 60. Now, that salary is pretty high, but I think you have to pay attention to him. I'm definitely not looking at Tyson Chandler. He's been getting no minutes and no production at all. And Ryan Anderson at 6,700. I don't know. He's been shooting the lights out. He's been playing really well. I'm not all that convinced that it continues in this one. The last game of the night is the Utah Jazz and the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers are favored by 4.5. The total is 196.5 points. Rudy Gobert is probable with a tailbone bruise. Rodney Hood at 4,700. I think this is dependent on him getting back some big minutes, which he hasn't had in the last game, but that was a blowout. If he gets back to the 32 minutes, he's someone that's definitely worth looking at here. Gordon Hayward at 6,600 is an okay option. Gobert at 7,000. Once he gets under 7,000, I'm going to be more interested. Blake Griffin at 9,200, too expensive. Derek Favors at 8,000, probably too expensive as well. And Chris Paul is down at 8,900 now. Again, going up against Gobert, point guards, they really, really struggle. So I don't think it's a good spot for him. And DeAndre Jordan at 7,600. Just hopefully we get to see DeAndre Jordan shoot 25 free throws again. Said no one ever. I reckon that's about it for daily fantasy action. Let's have a look at the daily fantasy picks for tomorrow. At point guard, JJ Barea, 3,700. Jarrett Jack, 6,400. And Isaiah Thomas, 7,600. Shooting guards, Marco Ballinelli, 39. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 7,000. And James Harden, 10,400. The small forwards is led by Omri Caspi at 4,100, which bumps up if Cousins doesn't play. Chris Middleton at 5,500 and Kawhi Leonard at 8,800. Power forwards is Luis Scola at 46, Markieff Morris at 58, and Anthony Davis at 11,100. While the centers, Bismack Biyombo at 3,600, Karl Anthony Towns at 6,900, and Marc Gasol finishes us off at 7,800. That is it for today's podcast. Although, I do have one question, and you know what? I better find that question. Dun, 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 dun. Where did the question go? Daniel Bradley, who's on Twitter at D2BNZ. Can I ask about the Philly... I'll try that again. Sorry, Daniel. I'm sure you don't sound as tongue-tied as I just did then. Can I ask about the Philly situation and the two returning guards? Is either one or both top 100 or better like Covington? Okay, let's stop you right there, Daniel. They're not as good as Covington. Covington is a clear top 100 player. He's a top 70 player. Kendall Marshall and Tony Roden are not better than Covington. That's fine. Are either of them top 100 players? At this stage, I'm going to say no. If you've listened to this podcast long enough, and if you haven't, let me just inform you of my thoughts on Tony Roden. He's the worst player in the NBA. He is horrific to watch. He's not a basketball player. Yes, he can rack up stats, but you need to be punting field goal percentage, turnovers, and free throw percentage. So points leagues guys, they might like him, but he's just not good. He's no good. And I don't think that he's going to be getting the bulk of the minutes. When they return, I think we'll see shared minutes between TJ McConnell, Isaiah Cannon, who's been getting big run lately. You'll get Kendall Marshall getting minutes, and you'll get Tony Roden. I think they want Marshall to be the starter. But in 10-team leagues, not looking at them. In 12-team leagues, maybe Marshall, but I don't think the upside is really that high, to be honest. What the biggest impact that Kendall Marshall and Tony Roten are going to have is they're going to come in and reduce what TJ McConnell's been doing. That's probably all that's going to happen with those guys coming back. So I don't bank on them being top 100 guys. They're definitely not going to be better than Covington. And I don't think there's really much we need to be too concerned about with Kendall Marshall and Tony Roten. But thank you for the question, Daniel Bradley. Remember, if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. And the other thing you can do to help out is help me name the show. Help me name each episode. Give me a punny title based on the monstrous line of the night, who you think it might be, and give me some titles and work with it, like Unmerciful_1 did today with the title of today's podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. And if you're watching, you can see, there it is, just on the screen there. There's my Twitter handle. Go and follow me. And you can ask me questions along there. Tweet me your episode titles. Don't forget to use the sponsors. No Halftime app. Use that promo code DUNK. I shouldn't need to spell that, but I will. DUNK. Make sure you go and use that promo code. And of course, moneyball.com.au. If you're in Australia or New Zealand, it is our only daily fantasy sports site. So go across to Moneyball and support them and support yourself. Win some money, hopefully using some of these picks on the podcast that we're talking about. All right, that is it for today's show, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.